The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Can you say with certainty that Jimmy Garoppolo will be on the roster on Sunday?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
It's a dark way to start the show. I don't know about your friend Kyle.
We don't know if you're going to be here Sunday, God. Florio. We're not sure.
sounds like something I'd say.
It does. Seriously. Maybe that's why I'm friends with you both. You guys both got a little weird, twisted, dark side to you. I don't know. Maybe that's why it makes sense.
That's definitely a way both to answer the question and to get the reporters to move on to another topic, because it is a reminder
you're right.
That anyone could die before Sunday, and possibly all of us will die before Sunday. I don't think George Kittle is counting on being among those who are no longer among us. Come Sunday.
That's great.
I'll call you on Sunday to let you know I'm alive, coach. But you know what that proves? That proves to me that he's got guys in that locker room
that are listening,
that
right?
Are paying very close attention to how this all plays out, along with the rest of us. Because you know what, Chris? I wrote this last night, and I'm sure you can attest to it, because I doubt that Kyle is telling you what he's planning to do. Nobody knows what the 49ers are going to do. Some believe they could change their minds multiple times between now and Thursday. Some believe they have changed their minds, and some believe they are relishing in this mystery that has been concocted in the weeks since they moved up to number 3, when we all thought they had one guy, and now, I don't know how many guys, 5 guys.
Yeah, well, that's
maybe
what he
more.
Repeatedly
I don't
says,
know.
Right.
I doubt it's more than 5, yeah. But it's amazing to me.
It is amazing. I mean, you know, first, I think he gave us some context clues during the press conference yesterday that tell you, you know, at least where his brain was at or thoughts or anything like that. I mean, listen, he gave us some honest answers, but I think there's some other things you could read into, too. You know, I do think there was the point a little bit where, to your point, Mike, about talking about the one guy, he makes a pretty broad statement, you know, hey, we were sitting at there at 12. We weren't sure if the guy we wanted was going to be there. So that was a little like, okay, my antennas went up when I heard that. Oh, okay, yep, there was one guy, okay. And then I think he's pretty honest after that. They got to a spot. They did like all the quarterbacks, and they dug in a little bit more to do a little bit more homework on all of them.
He definitely was honest when he said we all could be dead by Sunday, because technically he is right. For more of what was said yesterday, both by Kyle Shanahan and by 49ers GM John Lynch, let's have a listen.
Everyone has, you know, in your contract, you do this. The draft is mine. But I told Kyle from the beginning that this is – he and I are doing this together. And when it comes to quarterbacks, I'd be foolish, I believe. We have a head coach who's also our offensive play caller. I will always defer to him. And, you know, what's cool about that is that Kyle, I think, respects my opinion enough he always wants it. And ultimately, we arrive at decisions. We will, and come Thursday, we'll have a pick that hopefully makes everyone proud, but that will be judged in years to come.
You know, we knew that there was three at the time exactly. That's why we thought three was a good spot to go to. After going through this whole process, I feel good about five guys at three. Yeah, we had a guy probably at first back then, but we knew that wasn't set in stone. Yeah, we probably started with one in mind, but that one's gotten better since, and so have all the other candidates. So do we know exactly who we want? Maybe, probably, but maybe not. I don't feel like we need to say that. And that's not just for our case, but like, you know, lots of stuff happens between now and the draft. And you don't want the whole league knowing exactly what you're set on 4 days before the draft.
Yeah, I mean, one or more of the candidates at number three could be dead by the draft, taking his answer from earlier to its logical conclusion. There was a lot there, though. And one comment that really stood out to me from John Lynch is when he said this will be judged in the years to come. Because to the extent that there is a difference of opinion between plug-and-play Mac Jones, who may have a ceiling that isn't as high as
a Trey Lance,
sit
or
and develop and wait for Trey Lance, or maybe even a Justin Fields. Hey, I got a former GM insisting that it's Fields. Which is stunning to me.
Well, is this the same GM that was telling you you had another, you know, what was your other one?
That told me you were a good quarterback? Yeah, it's the same one.
Okay, same one. Wasn't there a crazy one you brought up on the show last week that it was insisting something and we kind of got on him? But either way, okay. All right, so they insist it's Justin Fields.
I'll tell you during the break
who
this former GM is.
Okay.
But but look, it could be when they say five guys. Who are the five? The top five quarterbacks? It's Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. And we know it's Lawrence and Wilson off the board. See, when they made the move, the obvious reaction, just like when the Jets made the move to three 6 weeks before the draft in 2018, hey, they're comfortable being third in line,
right?
Assuming it's quarterback. And for the Jets, it was just one quarterback and then a running back, so they got the second quarterback on their board. So, hey, the 49ers get the third quarterback on their board, whoever it may be. I don't like creating the sense that they have now turned it into a shell game for themselves as to who the guy's going to be. You go from having conviction that it's one to putting yourself in a spot where you've taken a deep dive, a close look, attended the pro day workouts of three, and because at some point you got to pick one.
Yeah.
And more importantly, Chris, when you pick one, you got to watch what the other two do with other teams. It's not like they disappear.
Sure.
I was thinking of this before the show. This is like going into an expensive automobile dealership with the idea that you're buying the Ferrari, okay? I got the money. Yeah. I took out the huge loan.
Right.
Mortgage of the future. I'm getting a Ferrari. You walk in, you got a Ferrari, you got a Porsche, you got an Aston Martin in there.
Sure.
And all of a sudden you realize,
but these drive good too.
I kind of like these other two cars. Here's the difference.
Yeah.
Whichever one you take, your neighbors are going to have the other two.
Yeah, sure.
They're buying the other two. You got to see the other two. You got to drive down the street next to them in that other one. That other one may end up being a hell of a lot nicer than the one you bought.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good analogy, certainly, and you're right. You know, I think that's what he talked about, like, you know, what we saw early on with the clip with the social media, and am I going to let the pressure get to me and all that type of stuff. You know, yeah, there's a lot of noise out there, and of course, yeah, Shanahan's name and whatever quarterback he does draft, they're going to be tied to, you know, Fields or Lance throughout their careers. They're going to be compared constantly. There's no doubt about it, especially as controversial as this became, you know, as far as, you know, oh, you can't take Mac Jones at three. How could he be better than Justin Fields and, man, Trey Lance and all the potential he has? But I still think, like, even to your point, Mike, like, I still think Shanahan went into it going, I like Ferrari, and got to the store and went, I like Ferrari, but ooh, this is a great Porsche and Aston Martin. let me take it out for a test drive and see and just make sure, because I'm spending all this money to get the Ferrari anyways. Maybe I'll like these more. And then, okay, you take a test drive, and now you're back down to, okay, this is the car I want. I still think, just by what we heard yesterday, right, that, you know, the original guy that was traded up for is still the guy. At least that's what I came away from that press conference thinking. I really did. You know, even with the little comment there at the end where he was like, he talks about, what exactly did he say? He just said, well, even the guy we were originally on, he got better too, right? So that gave me a little context clue that, like, okay, that guy checked the boxes. That's the guy going forward. So we'll see who it is. I mean, again, I think it is Mac Jones. There's no doubt. I haven't waffled that on like a bit. But I understand the intrigue of the other guys. And, you know, the more you hear, Mike, just like we've heard here the last few days, you know, I know they didn't make a cancellation of any of them, but, man, the league seems to think it's Trey Lance or Mac Jones. That has gotten out of that building somehow, some way. And I have a feeling it's come down to, you know, those two as well, just by the people you listen to in the media.
Let me give you a more appropriate example than shopping for high-end cars. This would be like Washington 2012 making the big move up to number two, where they're getting Andrew Luck or RG3. And at the time, we assumed the Colts were leaning hard Andrew Luck. But RG3 was in the discussion. I remember Tony Dungy saying he'd take RG3 over Andrew Luck,
sure,
former
right.
Colts coach. If you're the Colts, you got to at least listen. RG3 declined a private workout with the Colts, which kind of slammed the door on going to Indianapolis. But this would be the equivalent of Washington making that big move when the Shanahans were there, even though it may not have been their decision to make the big move. And then when they get there, well, we like four guys. And all of a sudden, it's RG3 or Ryan Tannehill or Brandon Whedon, all three of whom went the first 22 picks that year.
Right.
And what, look, it does create a lot more interest. And the 49ers have essentially hijacked the draft because we know what the Jaguars are going to do. We know what the Jets are going to do. But, man, you really are putting yourself in a position where this could blow up in your face, because history tells us a certain percentage of these quarterbacks taken in round one, or along with the other players,
sure,
are going to stink. What if they pick the one who ends up stinking?
Yeah.
Now, Kyle Shanahan may have something to do with whether or not he stinks, but this is a high wire act that they have voluntarily engaged in.
Right.
And I'm not sure they've really thought through what the potential ramifications are, because the potential ramifications are they buy the lemon and the other two cars run great for 10 years.
No, and that's the scary thing. You know, and I think that's where, you know, coaches get concerned about now what you're talking about, like the public perception a little bit, and a little bit of just the sound and everything around all of that type of stuff. Because, you know, what you're talking about, of course, the quarterback, they're going to pay attention to the other two guys, how their careers go, everything like that. The fans are going to be all over it. And whoever they draft is going to be held to that standard throughout their career. I mean, it's almost going to be a little bit of a no-win situation until whoever that quarterback is for the 49ers just, you know, smacks everybody besides the face 30 times and is like, look, we're good, I'm good, and there's nothing you can do about it, and finally, you know, shut up, everybody. It's going to take, like, probably some playoff appearances and some unbelievable statistics to go along with it to silence the haters on this conversation. There's going to be that part of it. But that really only comes down to, like, the Mac Jones part of it. That's the side I find interesting, because it doesn't seem like people are all up in arms or crazy if Trey Lance or Justin Fields get drafted. It's only the Mac Jones thing. And that's where
it seems
the microscope is, and everybody's on it even more. So there is. This is a career-defining moment for the Shanahan era with the 49ers. I don't think there's any doubt about that. This is a huge, huge, you know, night we got coming up for them here in a few nights.
They've made it even bigger by playing this game of which car will I buy,
instead of
just making the move, not saying anything, not embracing the mystery. They've embraced it. Like I was told last night, they are relishing this, and that's fine until you pull the pick. Once you pull the pick, you're going to say, maybe we should have been more decisive. Maybe we should have been more clear, because by creating the appearance of indecision, you're opening the door for the I told you so doubters on the back end. You've mentioned a couple of times what Shanahan had to say yesterday about being influenced by social media, and obviously he shouldn't be. No one should be. Let's hear from Shanahan talking about that specific angle.
I've seen the look of people's face when they do read social media. I know how I've felt when I've done it after a bad loss or something, or after a good win. Like, whatever it is completely inflated past reality. And I hope that any human nature, if you get involved in that, I don't care who you are, whether you're a football coach, a GM, a high school kid, anybody, if you get involved in that, it will affect how you are, how you think, and what you do. And I hope people are, and that will affect me if I got really involved in that. What I can promise people, that you have two people who make sure we don't get involved in that, because that is so irresponsible to let something like that affect your decision. We do this for a living, and I think people should be proud of us that we won't let that affect our decision. And then it's up to us to live with the consequences.
If I understand what he said, let me boil this down. When I look at social media, it has an impact on me, but I'm not going to let social media have an impact on me, even though I look at social media and it has an impact on me. The dog is chasing his tail in that response, Chris.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, he's aware of how the world works. He is, but he is trying to block that aspect out, you know. And, you know, I think what he's trying to say there, too, or a little bit to like what you said, Mike, you know, hey, it does. You know, if you're paying attention at a very topical level, it seems like there could be indecision, you know. But I think what Shanahan and Lynch are trying to do, tell you yesterday a little bit, it's not indecision. It's more due diligence, and trust us that we know what we're doing, and, you know, we're running an organization and they've been running at a pretty high level here the last few years. I think that's what he's trying to say more than anything. So it's not indecision. It's just like, it'd be careless for me to go up to number three and then not really dig in to do the homework on all these other guys just to make sure. Because like you said, his life, his career going forward is going to be compared to these other two quarterbacks, whoever which one he doesn't pick. So he wants to make sure he's, you know, crossed every T, dotted every I, picked up every rock in the world to make sure that, you know, things are the way he expected them to be when he traded up to number three. I think that's what he's trying to say. So we'll see where it goes from here. But I got the sense yesterday, Mike, at least, that, you know, again, now it's not stone cold, but they know who they're picking. I mean, I do think that's gone by. The reports we heard this weekend that the 49ers have come to, you know, a conclusion and know all that. I did get that sense yesterday, at least. Didn't you?
Well, I'd like to think they have a decision made by now.
Right.
I'd like to think they had the decision made when they made the pick. See, Chris, here's the risk that Kyle Shanahan is running. And I'm on record. He's the young version of Bill Belichick, potentially. He could win a bunch of Super Bowls, potentially. He is putting a lot of eggs in this one basket. And there's a balance there that you have to strike between due diligence and not being wishy-washy, not creating the impression that you could go through any of three doors. Because if the guy that you pick does end up being the lemon among the Ferrari, the Porsche, and the Aston Martin, if he ends up being the lemon, it's so much better if you can sell, oh, it was never an issue. This was always my car. I didn't test drive the other two. This was always my car. This is why I got that loan. This is why I took a new 30-year second mortgage on my house. This is the car I've always wanted. This is the car I thought was perfect. And you know what? Sometimes it doesn't work out. When you allow yourself to flirt as openly as they have with these other two guys and then embrace the mystery of what you're going to do, we don't need to let anyone know what we're going to do. Well, it doesn't matter if they do. It's not like they're going to get leapfrogged for Mac Jones. If they come out right now and say, it's Mac Jones, it's always been Mac Jones, they're not going to get leapfrogged for Mac Jones. No one's trading up with the Jets or the Jaguars to get him. So
there is no strategic. Well, no. What if Atlanta really is hot on Trey Lance? What if they are hot on Trey Lance and they really want him? And now Atlanta's not sure. So what if that happens? I mean, we saw the 49ers not long ago switch a number two pick and become a number three pick, right? So I'm just throwing that out there. Listen, I did the same thing when Shanahan was like, I don't want the league to know. I don't want to tell anybody. I kind of was like, why? I mean, I was kind of thinking about that. But I do think you have to hold out hope for that type of possibility, maybe, that maybe there is somebody really hot on these guys. And, okay, maybe we drop down a spot or two and still know that I'm going to get the quarterback I want to get. I'm guessing that's why they're keeping it secret.
Then why aren't the Jets embracing the possibility that Mac Jones could be their guy to try to get the 49ers to flip-flop, or the Jaguars throwing out the idea that maybe Zach Wilson's their guy to try to get the Jets to do a flip-flop? Why aren't the other teams doing that?
Well, I think that, you know, 1-2 are everybody's 1-2. That would be my thought for the most part. And then just everybody thinks those two guys are going there. Like, you know, I haven't heard too many people venture off the, wait, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are 1-2 in this draft. So that's kind of just set in stone there, I think, a little bit. I guess it's a little different of a conversation. But, Mike, I don't know. I'm not saying I know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't know who took over the PR function there since Bob Lang left to go back to Philadelphia. But this is going to be a PR challenge, because on the back end, after they make this pick, they need to start sending out the message, this was always the guy, this was always the guy. The rest of it was strategic. The rest of it was window dressing. And the balance on the back end is going to be not saying so much that you give a career's worth of bulletin board material to the guys you didn't pick.
Yeah,
you can't crap on them.
Right.
You can't say, we didn't really like Trey Lance and Justin Fields. We don't think they're going to be good quarterbacks. We understand there's going to be busts, and we think they're more likely to be the bust than our guys. But you got it. So they've put themselves in a very difficult spot before the draft and potentially after the draft, because if they don't get the message out to the faithful, as they call them, that Mac Jones was always the guy, and maybe even if they do, they are stepping into this potential problem where if Jones doesn't work out, they're going to hear it from their fans and their media for years to come. You should have taken Lance. You should have taken Fields. Even though it's narrowed down to Lance and Jones, if Fields ends up being the superstar of the bunch, they're going to hear you should have taken Fields.
No doubt. They're definitely going to get, I told you so. You should have done this. What were you thinking? All of those type of things, there's no doubt. The other thing, too, that I took away, though, you know, is just as far as I'm looking for clues, you know, there was a lot of, like, Drew Brees references yesterday in that press conference, too, towards the end, which, again, made me think, like, it is a Mac Jones at quarterback. But we'll see. I mean, you're right. This is huge stuff. They have hijacked the draft. All we've talked about is the 49ers ever since they made this trade. I mean, really, have we ever talked less about the number one and number two pick in the draft ever? I can't remember. It's a huge moment for their organization. I mean, the pressure, the Jimmy G situation, 49, the Shanahan's name is going to be attached to this forever. So, we'll see where this goes. And whoever they pick, they're going to have to make sure they go all in to make it work so they don't get their butts fired.
Peter King suggested in yesterday's Football Morning in America that the 49ers possibly have warmed to the idea of trading Jimmy Garoppolo during the draft after they pick their next quarterback. If so, need to sell Jimmy G a little more aggressively to other suitors and not focus on the injury history. Kyle Shanahan did that yesterday. Here he is talking about Jimmy G.
Biggest thing with Jimmy is his injuries. It's been very tough for us when he's been hurt, and you know, and it's happened two out of these 3 years. And that's where it starts. And Jimmy knows that. I have been very upfront with him with everything. And, you know, we've been Zooming these last 2 weeks. I'm excited to get him in here coming up, especially when this draft's over. But I feel very fortunate taking a rookie quarterback that we do have a guy like Jimmy, that, you know, we didn't sign a guy who's capable or has the history of being a starter right away. Well, we have a guy who every time he's been a starter, he's played at a high level. So to have that with Jimmy while adding a rookie quarterback gives us a lot of leeway into this. I'm not going to set anything in stone, but I know that's a situation that it would be hard to get rid of. I mean, when you take a rookie quarterback and you have a veteran like Jimmy who we know we can win with, just to move on from that is something that it's not easy to do. That is a good situation for us, and I think that's something that will be important to us this year.
We have to view those comments through the lens that there is a strategic component to everything.
Definitely.
And they would like to get a return for Jimmy G. The question is, when do you get it? Do you get it now? Do you hold on to him and hope that there's a fluke quarterback injury in late August, like the Vikings had in 2016, where that opened the door for the Eagles to get a first-round pick and a fourth-round pick for Sam Bradford, who supposedly was their week one starter while the rookie Carson Wentz sat on the bench. Look, Chris, I don't care how it falls. When we're gonna witness how it falls, I can't imagine the 49ers ultimately paying Jimmy Garoppolo $25 million this year. I think that if whoever they draft checks the boxes, passes the smell test, looks the part, we get to late August, they're going to go to Jimmy and they're going to say, hey, Jimmy, we can't pay you $25 million this year. We need you to cut $10 million off or we're going to release you before week one and you're going to become a free agent with no takers, with no options, with no spots to get yourself properly ensconced so you can play this year. So yeah. If you want to be the starter week one,
right,
you got to take $10 million less right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things about this little aspect of this whole trade the number three pick and all of these type of things. I mean, first off, you know, yeah, they're a team that I believe views themselves as a Super Bowl team. I mean, John Lynch started off the press conference by like, well, I think we have a pretty good football team here. We got good depth, and I know we got to stay healthy and all that. So that's where I get back into, like, I don't know. Do you keep a guy like Jimmy G to be the backup quarterback just in case? Something like that? You know, my original thought or my heart goes no, because I just think it's going to cause more problems, like we've talked about, you know, when the trade was first made and all those type of things. You know, then I guess the next aspect is just, yeah, when does it go down? When do you try to trade him, right? Do you try to do it now while teams are the most desperate this weekend? Or do you kind of take the approach like, you know, kind of like you said? I think there's got to be a little bit of like, hey, first, whoever we draft, let's make sure he gets in here and doesn't crap the bed, right, for lack of a better thing to say.
Or lives. Let's
right.
Make sure
or
he lives
right. So
it's
we know
be
he'll
live.
Be the quarterback.
Live or
right.
Alive.
So you do that and all that. But then, yeah, I would think you'd start – If you check all the boxes and, okay, whoever it is, Lance, Jones, whatever, okay, hey, they came in, they had a few good practices, they belong to be here, we're good. I would think that's when you try to trade Jimmy G. I mean, that would be my 2 cents there. And you're right, Mike, I go back to that contract. I'm with you there. I don't think they're going to be able to trade him unless they fix that contract. That would be my 2 cents on that situation to go along with it as well.
It's the Trent Brown dynamic which confused the hell out of me when the Patriots traded for Brown early in free agency and the Raiders got something for him and Brown took less. It's the balance between going somewhere now. You know how this movie's going to end, and I know how this movie's going to end. It's going to end with Jimmy G getting cut Labor Day weekend potentially, if not sooner. So you take less now. You go to a new team now. The 49ers get a reasonable return now.
Right.
And they move forward without the concern that George Kittle, Raheem Mostert, this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, shows up with their team Jimmy G shirts, T-shirts on when it's time to report to training camp. That's what you want to avoid, that split of opinion. And Chris, here's the other side of it. Yeah, they got a great team, okay? They got a great team.
Yeah.
Super Bowl ready. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl ready. So let's go with the guy we have. Then why the hell did you give up all that stuff to go get some quarterback that we're going to find out who it is? It isn't even one guy. It's potentially three guys. How do you strike that balance? You're either all in with the new guy who presumably will be able to play more than 10 games in a given year, or you're going to ride this to its conclusion with Jimmy Garoppolo. Because otherwise, you just go get a good backup quarterback for Jimmy Garoppolo. Peter said that yesterday. They can't afford to go into the season with, you know, one quarterback injury away from disaster like they've been.
Right.
Then just keep Jimmy G and go get a better backup. Don't give up 3 first-round picks and a 3rd-round pick to get the guy who may or may not play this year.
Well, I think they're telling you either way. They've had it with Jimmy G. I mean, that writing's on the wall there. I mean,
then how can you play him? That's my point. Well, if you've had it with him, how can you put him on the field?
Well, I don't think ultimately they will. You know, the scenario I'm talking about is him being the backup quarterback. I mean, so you're right, Mike. I mean, all the points, I'm not arguing you here. I'm with you all the way. I mean, yes, if I'm running the 49ers or telling Kyle Shanahan or talking to him, I'm going, no, at some point, get rid of Jimmy G and bring somebody else in there to be the backup that won't be as controversial and divide the locker room and do all the things that you've mentioned. I mean, I think you're spot on. You're no doubt about it. you know, but he is a good quarterback. He is a starting quarterback. And I think, like, the goal has to be at least to get something from him, right? I'd be pissed off if I'm Shanahan or Lynch and we get to training camp and I'm like, what? We're going to have to cut him? Like, we're not going to, we didn't get anything for him? That would be disappointing. And we have teams right now that we know have some quarterback wants and needs out there too. And that's where I just come back to, like, your main point, Mike, the contract. You know, hey, Jimmy G, does he want to go back to New England and maybe have a chance to play there against Cam Newton? Well, Bill Belichick isn't going to pay him $25 million a year, right? I mean, there's just no way. He's not going to do that and upset the locker room between Cam and – right.
Most. 10
right.
at most.
I'm with you. So there's that one. So, okay, Jimmy G, if you want to play, you're going to have to lower it to go to New England. You know, I don't know. You talk about, like, the other teams that jump out to me, Mike. You know, we've talked about the Broncos. I don't know if they'd do that either to want to pay 25. I have a hard time. And then there's the Texans and the Bears. So you got four teams out there to me as a base fan guy that does this that I look at that go, I think you could legitimately call these teams and strike up a conversation, and they might have some legitimate interest in a Jimmy G.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, and that may be where it's all headed. You can't put him on the field week one. To get back to the original point, this mess that they've kind of accidentally created for themselves with who they're going to take at that third overall pick, whoever you do pick now, and then if you put Jimmy G on the field week one and he stays healthy and he runs that offense,
right?
Not because of any special high-end Tom Brady skills he has,
yeah,
but because it's Kyle Shanahan's
they're
offense.
Good, right, yeah.
And then they get rolling like they did in 2019.
Right.
And meanwhile, the two guys you didn't take are starting
and
playing well.
Right.
The guy you gave up all that stuff to get is stuck on the bench behind Garoppolo. September becomes October. It's 2019 all over again.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're 8-2, and you're like, what do we do here? Right.
What did we do? We gave up three first-round picks and a third-round pick when, hey, our guy was Jimmy Garoppolo. We just needed to give him a chance. We just needed – you know, it was fluke injuries. Stuff happens. He's not – inherently fragile. It just kind of happens. It can happen to anybody. It's football at the highest level. Guys get injured, and then you get swept up in that. And then what do? Especially if you end up having another team that gets to the Super Bowl and doesn't win it.
No.
Let's say they get there and they don't win it.
Yeah.
What the hell do you do next year?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm with you, Mike. I mean, that was one of my points way back when, right, about why you can't keep them, just because that's a scary scenario. They're a good team. Shanahan's awesome on offense, like you said. He can put a lot of they stay healthy. You can put a lot of quarterbacks in football there in San Francisco. They're going to win some games and look good. So, yeah, that would be, like, the worst thing that could happen. Keep Jimmy G. He plays. And or even, let's just say, like, similar, same thing, too, where, okay, the rookie does start week one and gets a high ankle sprain. And now he's hurt. Now you got to go to Jimmy G. And now they run off, let's say, 9 out of 10 games. You're not going to bench them, you know, and now we're going to do a playoff run. And, like, you're going to have all that controversy there. That you're right, Mike. I'm with you. I think it's way too dicey to keep him on the roster. And I would expect that between now and really the end of OTAs that there's going to be, you know, dialogue with a lot of teams concerning Jimmy G.
That's the other risk they're taking. They don't know which of these guys from the 2021 quarterback draft class is going to be injury prone at the next level. You don't know until you put him at the next level and he starts getting hit by next level guys.
Yeah, that's right.
You just don't know.
No.
Sam Darnold's had injury issues. He's the guy of the ones taken in 2018 that has that big red flag over whether or not he's durable and can play. Of course, the mono was one of the reasons, but still, availability.
Yeah.
Availability, availability. And here, I guess to tie the two threads together, this mystery at number three, and the mystery of Jimmy G. The fact that they've embraced the mystery at the top of the draft makes it even more imperative that they get Jimmy G the hell out of there so they can go all in with whoever they end up picking. They cannot afford to not go all in, Chris, with that guy after showing up at the showroom and saying, we came for the Ferrari, but we really like the other two cars. Probably going to leave with the Ferrari, but we really like the other two cars. There's a disconnect between football and business. You can't ignore the business side of it. You can't piss off your customers. You have to take that into account. This gets back to the social media point. I'm not saying be influenced by social media, But man, you have to find a way to present these things to your fans in a way that minimizes the chances of a revolt. And the way this is playing out, depending upon how they make these moves, they could find themselves in a mess with their fan base if some stuff happens.
Yeah, no doubt.
Other than people dying before Sunday.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll all be here by Sunday. But that it's very risky. And I wonder, Chris, when you consider all the personalities.
Yeah.
And all the brains, you put them all together. I wonder if they've really thought this through to the level that this discussion takes it. Have they really thought it through? They got a lot of stuff to do. They're busy. They got a bunch of players to scout. Things take on a life of their own. I wonder if they really thought through the mess they potentially are walking right into.
I would have a hard time, you know, not, or what am I, I don't want to twist my words here. I would have a hard time thinking they didn't do their really due diligence, thought this through. Again, I don't know the specifics behind all of these conversations. I can tell you that I've been around the Shanahan family a lot. I've been around Kyle and Mike a lot. It's always football. They're always talking. And, of course, quarterback is their big topic of conversation always too. No matter what organization they've been in, no matter what the time, I've known them since the time it was the end of the John Elway to the start of the Brian Griese era. That's when I met them. So I would have a hard time thinking this wasn't really well thought out. And I think really at a base level, it was still one guy that was in mind the whole time. But let's go to the store, like you said, and just make sure everything's good with all these other cars. And, hey, let me test drive a few of the other ones just to make sure the one I really wanted is the one I really wanted. And I think that's where we're back to here, I think. And we'll see where it goes.
A lot of eggs.
A lot of eggs,
in
no
one
doubt.
Basket, and they better hope they're in a hole in that basket. Let's take a break. When we return, the Steelers coach and GM met the media yesterday. What are they going to be doing this year? And could they actually draft their next quarterback in 2021? More PFT Live right after this.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Save big money on protecting your garden now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stopper is a liquid repellent that prevents pesky animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stopper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
We don't care. We've never worried about what the folks in front of us will do. As we've told you guys, we used to do the mock drafts and it was a complete waste of time.
Thank you, Kevin. Mock drafts are a complete waste of time, especially now that everybody and their grandmother's dog has a mock draft.
Aren't you doing one? Are you doing one this week?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to the grandmother and their dog club.
Hey. I've been doing them for years. I've been doing them so long, I'm sick of doing them. I used to do like seven of them because they're great drivers of traffic, but they are a pain in the ass 20 times over. I think this year I'm going to do my mock draft on Friday. I think I'm going to try.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get a lot right. Yeah.
Than it's been in the past. Hey, but this year We're all 2 for 2, baby. We're all going 2 for 2. You know, we got an article on PFT. PointsBet's actually taken more action on Justin Fields being the first overall pick than Trevor Lawrence. What the hell are people thinking? That it's going to be Justin Fields to the Jaguars. That would be the biggest stunner in the history of the freaking draft.
I mean, what is the logic there, right? I mean, that's where I'm like, what? Did they think like Urban Meyer's like laying in the weeds for an ex-Ohio State quarterback? I don't even understand that.
I can either take my money and burn it and watch it burn, or I can bet it on Justin Fields being the first overall pick in the
draft. Watch it
well,
burn.
Well, I'll just – and watch it burn that way. That's yeah. more fun that way.
Right.
At least as the commissioner walks the podium, I'll wonder whether or not the first syllable is Justin. I don't know. Okay, Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, they don't need to do mock drafts usually because they're drafting so low it doesn't matter. Why waste your time? You got to see how the board falls out. This year, they're still drafting fairly low. And one thing that Kevin Colbert said yesterday, Chris, is that the Steelers are absolutely open to drafting a quarterback. Now, I don't know what that means. If a guy they really love ends up falling into their laps, how do you say no to it? But, you know, another thing Colbert said yesterday is keeping Ben Roethlisberger set the tone for their offseason. In other words, as we've said, that's the moment they decided to go all in on this year. So.
Right.
Why would you take a quarterback if you're all in on this year?
That's the big thing, right? With me, I really do question that. Listen, I could sit here and go through mock drafts and do things and come up with some reasonable scenarios, right? Where, hey, let's say the Panthers don't take a quarterback. The Broncos don't take a quarterback, right? Okay, now let's say 1, 2, 3 was what we think. Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and let's go Mac Jones, right, as 3. Trey Lance gets eaten up by the Falcons, whatever. Like, where would Justin Fields fall to? Where, if he gets past the Broncos at 9, what happens there? I mean, we know the Patriots, maybe, right? I don't know. I don't know how they feel about that. There's the Washington football team, of course, that could have some need there. Is Washington going to take another Ohio State quarterback after just taking a failed Ohio State quarterback? I don't know about that either. But once you get past that little area, you sit there and go, wait, the next team up that logically makes sense is Pittsburgh. But that's where it's funny, Mike. And if you're Pittsburgh at 24 and there are 24, I believe, right, or 25, Justin Fields is there. What would you do? Because of what you just said, I would think they're trying to go all in one more time on Big Ben. You know, do you take Justin Fields there or not? I don't know. That'll be a tough decision.
Yeah, and if you don't take him, that's a great spot to trade out of that position. And then if Najee Harris is the target or some other running back, you get him at the top of round 2. You know, they haven't taken, as we said yesterday, a running back in round 1 since Rashard Mendenhall in 2008. They went to the Super Bowl that year, but Rashard Mendenhall didn't have the kind of impact they need from a running back if that's where they go. There was a back and forth yesterday between Coach Mike Tomlin and a reporter on the question of who's in charge on draft day. Have a listen.
How exclusive is the decision making from the process to you two or Mr. Rooney? And if you guys go outside that exclusivity in terms of maybe bringing in a coordinator or anyone else to get a little bit more, I guess, advice on a guy that you might take.
Mr. Rooney's the boss.
But, I mean, that's the final decision, though? I mean, between you guys, I mean, I guess how does that process work? When this, just say, player A comes up on the board Thursday night, you guys are going to select. How's that process?
Seriously, Kevin and I have worked so well and so long together that we can kind of communicate nonverbally in those moments. But at the end of the day, Art Rooney is the boss.
Two important points there. First of all, I think we have a guest Simsism in exclusivity or something like that. Whatever it was, it didn't sound right to me from the reporter, not from Tomlin. Secondly, hey, I like the fact that we're evolving to the point where it is getting out that the owners have a hell of a lot more influence, especially in round 1, than we realize. They like to be able to stir the stew, but say, that's not my spoon. That's not me. I don't meddle. Yeah. Look, when you're talking about major selections and key points in the future of a franchise, at a minimum, you're making sure that when you run that name past the owner doesn't make a face. at a minimum, you're doing that.
Agreed.
And Art Rooney's always been involved. That the family's
it's the
always
family
been
business,
involved.
Right.
They've always been involved. They are not absentee landlords. They are there with their sleeves rolled up, doing the work and running the show. Oh, and it's worked for the past 50 years, so they're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, right. It's the family business. This is not like, hey, we just stop in every now and then and, hey, how's the draft going, everything? You know, I would think the Rooney family, like the Mara family, who's also the family business type there, you know, they're there every day. They're always around. They know who the conversation's around as far as the guys that are already the handful of guys they might pick there at pick 24 or something like that. So they're very aware of those situations. And I would think in those type of situations, Mike, to your point, is just like Tomlin, Colbert, they're sitting there. Hey, you know, oh, okay. Hey, Mr. Rooney, we're getting down here to our pick. We got these two guys right here. We were kind of thinking this guy because we, you know, he fits what we need to do and blah, blah, blah. And they make their case and they make sure he signs off on it. And, you know, I'm sure there's times where he's been like, well, and he might go another way. But I think that's pretty, you know, pretty normal protocol. And you're right. It's kind of fun that it's finally getting out there that these owners do have a little more say than what we believe.
And there are some owners that are a lot more involved than we realize. And look, Jerry Jones made himself the GM back in 1989, back before the internet, back before talk radio is what it is now. I think if an owner tried to do that today, they would be shouted down, vilified, and ridiculed. But I think there are plenty of owners who wield that power quietly behind the scenes for a variety of reasons. One of my favorite sayings, the only thing better than being rich and famous is being rich. The more you are in the fray, the more notorious you become, the more hated you become by the fans. It's always good to have somebody else who's your fall guy that you can fire if your meddling blows up. And I think there's a lot of owners who have that spoon in the stew, and they reserve the right to say, that's not my spoon. And Art Rooney's far closer to Jerry Jones than others, but I think to some degree they all, especially big-time picks, top 10 picks, quarterback picks, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? That's one of the privileges of owning the team, and that's the face of your franchise. That's your moneymaker. Ultimately, it's a business.
Right.
The owner better feel good about who that business is being entrusted to.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, why wouldn't you, you know, to the other side of that, if you're the coach or GM, make sure the owner's happy with the pick. Or, hey, we're down to what do you think about these two or three guys? That's important to their job security as well. This Pittsburgh one's interesting because, again, they're a team that I think we both look at and go, they're kind of close. They really are. And, I mean, it's really when you look at their roster, it's rebuild the O-line and get a running game. And that's where I go back to this is good. I mean, again, if there was a quarterback on the board, what would you do this year?
Trade down.
Yeah, trade down, you would. Or what if there's the quarterback there? Yeah. And, you know, there's a really good old lineman on the board, too, that you know is going to, you know, help your football team and help that running game and Big Ben be, you know, maybe a Tom Brady-type story here. That's where it does get, you know, very interesting and intriguing as far as this draft's concerned with Pittsburgh.
Depends on the gap between that old lineman and the guy that I think I can get lower.
Yeah, that's
right. It's not that big of a gap. Trade down and use the other pick on another old 100%. Lineman. More lottery tickets, more guys who can come in and help us win.
Yeah.
We talked about owners. There's one team that doesn't have an owner. There's one team that may benefit from having an owner who would come in and say, have you lost your damn minds? Of course you need to commit to Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
We'll talk about that when PFT Live continues right after this.
He's the greatest I've ever seen.
I'll just say this. You know, first of all, I'm not going to get into contract specifics, but Aaron's our guy. He's going to be our quarterback for the foreseeable future. We're excited about, you know, kind of the things we're going to try to accomplish here over the next couple of years. So we certainly think that, you know, with the contract that you're kind of talking about is something we'll work through. We're going to have to do probably a few things with different contracts as we head towards the season and through the season to make sure that our salary cap situation, not only this year, but in 2022 is square. So we're not done yet. We've done a lot to get here. We've kind of been doing things as we go, and we will continue to do that as we go.
Ryan Gutekunst, Packers general manager. I'd love to know how much they paid a consultant to come up with the phrase foreseeable future. I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means, Chris, in this context?
No, I don't. This is going to be a conversation we're going to talk about a lot during the year, I think, for sure. But yeah, I don't know, foreseeable future, all that stuff. There was a lot of things I questioned in that press conference there yesterday. You know, first off, Gutekunst was reeling right away with these contract situations. It wasn't really a definitive answer either. It was kind of like, we'll talk about it. We got to address it. Here's what I'm going to address with you, Green Bay. Your salary cap situation for 2022 will be good because Aaron Rodgers won't be there. He's going to be on another team. So don't you worry. You'll have plenty of room to do all the things you need to do. He's gone. This is it. It's over. This is the last year Aaron Rodgers will be in Green Bay. I'm calling my shot now.
Now, Chris, I firmly believe that at the core, this is about the Packers preserving their ability to make a year-to-year decision on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And by not restructuring his contract yet, they paid him a $6.8 million roster bonus. That all counts toward 2021. That could have been spread over multiple years. They still haven't restructured his base salary, $14 million in change. That could be spread over multiple years. The problem with doing that is it makes the cap charge next year, if you trade him before June 1, too high. It ties your hands in 2022. They want to see, what does he do in 21? We make a decision after 21. Is he our guy in 22? What does he do in 22? We make a decision after 22. Is he our guy in 23? They want that flexibility. He wants a commitment. It's that simple. He wants more than a one-year commitment, and they're not giving it to him, and I don't think they're going to.
I don't know if I agree with that either. I don't think he wants a commitment. I think he's done. I think it's, you know, sayonara, see you later, I'm out of here. I think the flustered of Gutekunst talking about the contract and the extension, and we have other contracts we got to address during the season for all that. I think that's because they've called Rodgers and his camp and have gotten crickets on the restructuring thing. Because for all the reasons you're saying, Green Bay wants to do 1 year thing. Rodgers is saying the same thing. I want to get the hell out of here after 1 year. I don't want to be tied here. I'm done. I just think that I feel like the writing's on the wall there. I really feel like this is where it's coming to. And I don't think we're going to hear any news about them restructuring Jack Diddley squat, because I don't think that's going to happen.
I wouldn't disagree with you that that's where he is now.
Yeah.
I think back in the middle of January when the season ended and he gratuitously veered toward that, hey, maybe I won't be here next year. And then a couple of days later, it's like, did I do that? Yeah, I mean, he likes doing that kind of stuff. He lights the fuse, backs away, the bomb goes off. We say, hey, a bomb went off, and we're the buttholes. I almost said another word for noting that the bomb went off. But I think he then, at that time, would have welcomed the certainty. I think we now know. We're in late April.
Right.
If he hasn't gotten the certainty now, he's not getting the certainty.
That's what I mean. Exactly right.
And so it's one more year.
Right.
And yeah, the Packers want the flexibility, but I agree with you. And look, here's where Aaron Rodgers has to step out of character, and I'll believe that he's willing to do it when he does it. He saw what happened with Brett Favre.
Yeah.
They engineered Brett Favre's retirement. Now, they engineered it because he was waffling about it year after year, and they finally decided to nudge him into retirement by asking him for a definitive decision in a month when they knew he would say, well, if I have to give you a decision now, I retire. And then he tried to come back. They didn't want him. They wanted to turn the page to Aaron Rodgers. He forced a trade. He ends up with the Jets. He ends up with the Vikings. He's public enemy number one in Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers is trying to avoid that. I think when the time comes for him to make his power play, he wants to be certain, or as close to certain as possible, that he's not painted as the villain. I don't know that he can pull that off. Maybe he can. Maybe if he has another big year and he does the Paul Cruz stick this in your trophy case to Mark Murphy or whoever, maybe the fans get behind him and he leaves town as a champion and the guy who stuck it to the organization. I think that's going to be a tough needle for him to thread.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I don't. I guess, you know, in my heart of hearts feel like that time has come, you know, for him to make that type of tough decision. And I think the other aspect, too, that at least is a little interesting that I do notice is I feel like public opinion has swayed towards Rodgers' favor ever since the NFC Championship game a little bit, to where I think people looked at it were like, man, he does all these awesome things. Man, he's awesome. Can somebody there help him a little bit? You know, I think a little bit of like even the people who don't love Rodgers, I think came away with that game a little bit feeling sorry for Rodgers for maybe the first time ever. And I think people have also realized with all the talk ever since the last year's draft, how little they've really done to put high-end talent around him, to where I feel like in the world of public perception right now, if he did to make that type of move, I think a lot more would favor him than Green Bay with at least the optics of the situation.
Quick point, Matt Casey whispered something in my ear that I want to address. Tom Brady was able to leave New England without the fan base turning on him, but he gave him 20 years,
right,
six championships, and it was at a point where, based on what we saw in 2019, you know, the gas is kind of out of the tank. If they'd have known how much gas was still in the tank, they may have felt differently when he walked away. But I think he's transcended that possibility of the fan base turning on him in Boston. With Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. And again, he saw it happen with Brett Favre. I think that's what he's concerned about.
Yeah. All right. It's a different situation. You're right, but it's a good one.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a break because we have another mock draft to talk about. The grandmother's dog's cat. No, it's Chris. We talked about Peters yesterday, Chris Sims today, mine maybe at some point before Friday. We'll talk about the Chris Sims mock draft when PFT Live continues right after this.
Guys like Mike Florio. I mean, don't waste your time.
Oh, thank you.
Reading crap like that.
Don't read crap like that.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.